From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Frustrated leaders of countries that use the euro gave Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras until Friday to present a viable proposal on how to save his country from financial ruin. NPR Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reports from Berlin. An emergency EU summit on the matter is slated for Sunday.
The fact European Council President Donald Tusk is calling all 28 EU leaders to Brussels instead of just the Eurozone members shows how critical the situation has become.
I have no doubt that this will affect all Europe, also in the geopolitical sense. If someone has any illusion that it will not be so, they are naive.
EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker underscored how angry he and other European leaders are with the Athens government. He says they've already mapped out a plan to force Greece out of the common European currency. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Berlin.
Hillary Clinton sat down for her first national television interview since beginning her campaign nearly 3 months ago. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, she was pressed on something that's shown up in polls as a weakness. Her trustworthiness.
A handful of recent polls have found a majority of voters don't consider Hillary Clinton to be honest or trustworthy. CNN's Brianna Keeler asked the former First Lady and Secretary of State whether she took any responsibility for that perception.
This has been a theme that has been used against me and my husband for many, many years. And at the end of the day, I think voters sort it all out. I have great confidence. I trust the American voter.
Clinton insisted in the interview, as she has before, that her use of a private email server while Secretary of State was completely legal and violated no laws or regulations in place at the time. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
President Obama says despite a history of war and differences over political philosophy, the U.S. and Vietnam are deepening their cooperation with one another on a number of vital issues. The president met today in the Oval Office with Nguyen Phu Chom, the head of Vietnam's Communist Party. Chom, the de facto leader of the country, also called the meeting historic in a number of ways.
I think that 20 years ago, not too many people would imagine a substantive meeting between the General Secretary of the Communist Party of Vietnam and the President of the United States.
20 years after reestablishing diplomatic ties with its one-time foe, the U.S. sees Vietnam as a linchpin in the Obama administration's Asia policy, who also reportedly spoke candidly about human rights and religious freedoms in Vietnam. Nation's trade shortfall, that's the difference between what U.S. companies sent overseas and foreign firms shipped to U.S. shores, widened slightly in May. Commerce Department says the trade deficit was up almost 3% compared to the previous month. Stocks swung from major losses to gains today. The Dow up 93 points to 17,776. The Nasdaq rose 5 points. This is NPR. Social networking site Facebook is announcing plans to spend $500 million to build a major data center in Texas. The company announced the global data center, the fourth in the U.S. and the fifth overall, will employ at least 40 full-time workers and be powered by renewable energy. Facebook, which has 1.4 billion users, opened its first data center in Prineville, Oregon in 2011. Minnesota man linked to the self-proclaimed Islamic State, who's staying in a halfway house to receive counseling, has suffered a setback. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports a judge has revealed a box cutter was found in his room.
19-year-old Abdullahi Yusuf said the box cutter found in a room he shared with three other men wasn't his. But U.S. District Judge Michael Davis said in a court filing that the box cutter represented a danger, and he returned Yusuf to prison. Yusuf was transferred at the end of April, and the judge has only just announced the change in his status. An investigation into the box cutter discovery is continuing. More than a dozen young men from the Twin Cities have been charged with seeking to join ISIS. Yusuf is the only one who's been allowed to undergo a de-radicalization program. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
A baker outside Denver who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple has told the Colorado Court of Appeals he should not be forced to do so, saying it would be a violation of his religious beliefs. At the same time, attorneys for the couple argued that allowing religious exemptions for businesses would only lead to future discrimination. A ruling is expected to be issued in the case at a later date. The baker could face fines, though, if he loses his case in court. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.